Banner all around. Bye. If you have your Bibles today, we're going to be turning to Psalms 23. Psalm 23. Since the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you today for your many blessings. Lord, I just pray now that we just, as we go through these verses, through your word, that you'll speak to our hearts, comfort our hearts through these times of uncertainty. And Lord, we thank you for all that you've done and continue to do in our lives. We'll thank you and praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. So we see, as we look here at Psalm 23, the first thing that David says is, "The Lord is my shepherd." Well, see, when you look at God's people, we are considered sheep. As we may know, sheep are not the brightest animals to appear on earth. They are considered to be dumb and defenseless. That is why they require a shepherd to care for them. Not to care for them, but to protect them. They need someone to look after them for their smallest needs and lead them to where they need to be. The sheep form a special bond with the shepherd. He gets to know each one of them intimately. Because he knows the ones who are prone to wander. He knows the weaker ones. He knows the loyal ones. He knows all by their names. The sheep become familiar with his voice. They know the shepherd's sound and his smell. See, we can see here in Psalm 23 the unique relationship between the shepherd and his sheep. We're going to notice a few blessings that we can see in these verses. First of all, we're going to look at how the shepherd encourages the sheep. How the shepherd encourages the sheep. We see there in verse 1, it says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." The first thing we see here is by his relationship to his sheep. The relationship is a very close and personal. David says, "My shepherd." And then where he switches from he says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in the green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still water. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me into the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." See, he changes from he to thou and thy. So we see that there in verses 4 and 5. This speaks of one who knows intimately and personally. See, David knew from personal experience as a shepherd how close the shepherd and the sheep relationship was. Because if we remember and we look back in 1 Samuel, what was going on when Israel was battling with the Philistines and they had Goliath came up, the giant, and everybody was scared of him. But David, because of his past experience with the Lord, was not scared because God delivered him out of the hands of a bear and out of the hands of a lion. David was what? He was back keeping the sheep. He was a sheep herder. He knew them by name. He was involved intimately with every area of each of his sheep's life. They were accustomed to his voice and his presence. They followed wherever he led them. They trusted him to supply their every need. He took that relationship and applied it to that which he enjoyed with the Lord. As we see, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." See, this is the same relationship every redeemed child of God experiences today. We are in an intimate, personal relationship with the Lord. And that's why it's important for us to stay in the Scriptures. That's why it's important for us to stay in prayer on a daily basis. See, Jesus labeled himself in John chapter 10, if we take a minute to turn there, John 10, he labeled himself as the Good Shepherd. John chapter 10, starting at verse 1, it says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out." See, we get this picture here as we read this. "And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were of which he spake unto them." We see there in verse 7, it says, "Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep." He says, "I am the door of the sheep." We see in John chapter 14 and verse 6, it says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." See, Jesus is the way. He is the door of the sheep. "All that enter ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture." See, we have access to God through Christ. It's a continual access. They come and go in and out and find pasture. "The thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, to destroy. I am come that he might have life, that they may have it more abundantly." In verse 11, we see here it says, "I am the good shepherd, but the shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling, not the shepherd, whose own sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth. The wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is a hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and knoweth my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep." So he labeled himself here in John chapter 10 as the good shepherd. It is a reminder to us that Jesus gave his life for the sheep. He gave his life for each one of us. We see there, "The Lord is my shepherd," there in verse 1. See, this can only be because of the intimate relationship between the Lord and between us. See, this means that this is not to everybody. This is to believers only. This is to the redeemed. "The Lord is my shepherd." It speaks of an intimate relationship that we have with him. We see the relationship with the sheep, but now we see here the responsibility, his responsibility to his sheep. His responsibility to his sheep. We see there in verse 1, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." See, he promises them what? Provision. When David says, "I shall not want," that means everything's being taken care of. That's something we can grab a hold of and stand on that promise. But why? Because he gives us everything we need. See, he takes care of all of our needs. See, I am so thankful for the Lord's provision. Even through, as we've been supposed to be locked in our houses and very few working today, I'm thankful how God has provided for us and our family. But we also see in Psalm 37 and verse 25, it says, "I have been young and now I'm old." This is David speaking. "Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread." God's going to take care of us. We don't know what the outcome of this whole virus thing is or what's going to happen, but God's going to take care of us. That's something we can be assured of. And we just got to trust him one day at a time, as he tells us, not to worry about tomorrow. It'll take care of the things of tomorrow. Not to worry about yesterday. It's already over and gone. We just need to live for today. In Matthew chapter 6, Matthew 6 and verse 25, it says, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, for what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, and they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto them that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which is today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for even your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But we see there in verse 33, it says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. See, he promises us provision. But there's a stipulation here. We need to live for him. We need to seek and put him first in our life. He's going to provide for us. He promises us his provision. The second thing we see here is he promises us his paths. His paths. We're going back to Psalm 23. He promises us his paths. See, the good shepherd always leads his sheep in the right way. We see there in verse 2, it says, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. And then we see in verse 4, it says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. You notice that's not the valley of death, if it's the shadow. A shadow is just something that depicts, it's just kind of depicts what's going on. But in order to get to each mountaintop, we have to go through what? The valleys. God does not spare us from that. He allows us to go. Why? He allows us to go through it. But David says, I will fear nor evil, for thou art with me. See, we can sense his presence. But he promises us his paths. We see there in Psalm 119, verse 11, it says, thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. We need to memorize the scriptures. In verse 9, it says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Taking heed thereto according to thy word. See, he promises us his paths. We also his paths leads us through the glen, which is in verse 2, or through a gorge, as we see, which is referring to a valley in verse 4. He always leads us in the best path of all. It's his path. We may not always like the path where life leads, but if we're being led of the shepherd, our Savior, he will always lead us in the right path. And we got to remember that. Psalm 37 and verse 23 says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Not only do we see that, but the scripture that kind of goes ties in with this is Romans 8:28. Romans 8:28. Just give you a chance to turn there. Romans 8:28. It says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are called according to his purpose. All things. We don't understand how or why or what's going to go on next. Our next day, our next week or month or year is uncertain. But God says all things work together for good to them that love God. So, it's his paths. We are promised his paths. See, the word paths comes from a word that means circuit or orbit. See, the Lord's leadership will always lead us in a path that causes us to what? To orbit him. And if you think about it, we think about the earth, we think about the sun, we think about all the planets. And regardless of what anybody says today, I truly believe the sun is stable and that the planets orbit around the sun. Well, it's the same purpose or same concept we're thinking about here. Just as the bodies in heaven are subject to the gravitational pull of the sun, those who are in his orbit are kept in a right path about him at all times. Think about that for a minute. He leadeth me beside the still water. He's there with us. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. He's walking with us. It brings to memory, again, I bring it up many times, is that the footprints in the sand. You know, we see one set of footprints and we say, well, the Lord wasn't with us. Well, he was with us, because why is there only one set of footprints? He was carrying us through the hard times. And that's what he's going to be doing now. We see in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25, it says, not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another is so much the more as you see the day approaching. That's why it's so important for us. It says he leadeth there in Psalm 37 in verse 23, that he ordereth the steps of a good man. Let's see if I can get the right, turn to the right page here. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. See, we're not to forsake the assembly of ourselves together, because we need each other. The Christian walk is not walking by ourselves. It's walking together. We need the fellowship. We get the fellowship from the Lord, but we need fellowship amongst each other, because that's the way God intended it. That's why we're considered the body of Christ. And there's not just one person in the body. There's multiple persons. There's multiple parts in the body. So we see here the Lord's leadership will always lead us in the path that causes us to orbit him. See, we see that he promises that us provision. He promises us his paths. Thirdly, he promises us his presence. He promises us his presence. In verse 4 and 5, it says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. So he promises us his presence. We've seen in verses 2 and 3 his leadership, but now we see his presence in the darkest of times. As David says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Hebrews 13:5 says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Psalm 26, one of the things that David said in verse 8, it says, Lord, I have loved thy habitation of thy house and the place where thine honor dwelleth. I have loved thy habitation. Psalm 27 and verse 4, it says, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. See, he promises us his presence. See, a good example of this is if we look back in the Old Testament, and I don't have a reference for this, but it was when God was leading his children out of Egypt. And how did they know God's presence was with them? Because there was a cloud by day and a fire by night. And he led them. But when he was leading them through the Red Sea, and the Egyptians were chasing them, where was he? He was between the Egyptians and the Israelites. He was protecting them. His presence was there. See, we see in verse 5, to his intimate activity, it speaks of a filling of the Spirit. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. See, and the Bible tells us when we get saved, we're given the Holy Spirit, but there, throughout our walk with Christ, there's many feelings. The closer we walk with him, the closer we draw to him, the closer he draws to us. The closer we walk with him, the fuller we become, we have of the Spirit. Psalm 92 and verse 10. Psalm 92 and verse 10. It says, "But my horn shalt thou exalt like the horn of a unicorn. I shall be anointed with" what? "Fresh oil." You know what that reminds me of? When he talks about fresh oil. It reminds me of 1 John 1:9. It says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us" what? "From all unrighteousness." It reminds me of the illustration we've used in the past of them going to the daily bathhouse, taking a bath, and walking back to their homes with sandals on. And in those days, they wore sandals because of where they were at. But at home, when they got home, they had to wash their feet from the defilements because they're going through the world to get home. It's the same concept as 1 John tells us that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There's a daily cleansing needed. See, he promises us his presence. There's an intimacy, as we see there in verse 5. Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 31, "I die daily." There's a daily of dying to self in order for us to surrender and submit our will to Christ. We see, I believe it's in Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. And I believe it's verse 23. He said it, and he said to them all, "If any man come after me, let him deny himself." That's the first step. "And then take up his cross daily and follow me." See, that's what has to take place. Is you take up your cross daily, deny self, and follow Christ. But then let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1, starting at verse 18. So if you're thinking about daily cleansing and from the daily defilements of being in this wicked world, the sinful world, we look at 1 Peter in verse chapter 1 and verse 18. It says, "For as much as ye know..." I mean, if you look at the previous verses in verse 16, it says, "Because it is written, be holy for I am holy." Then we see there in verse 18, it says, "For as much as ye know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God, seeing that you have purified your souls," what? "By... purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. See that you love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed, by the word of God, which leadeth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you." See, we're purified by what? By obeying the truth. We see this in Peter. So it's about being obedient. We see in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 26, it said that he might sanctify and cleanse it, the church, with the washing. Now, it is referring to us as the body of Christ, the church, with the washing of the water by the word. See, we need to bathe in the Word. That's why we say we need to bathe in the Word, because there's a cleansing that takes place. We see in Psalm 119, 105, Psalm 119, 105, says, "Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." See, he promises us his presence. See, the Lord is seen in a close proximity to his sheep. He's always there to lead them. He's always there to feed them. He's always there to protect them and to watch over them at all times. He's always there. In Matthew 28, verse 20, the last part of the verse says, "Lo, I am with you always unto the end of the world. Amen." I am with you always. When he said he was leaving, he was sending what? A comfort of the Holy Spirit. When we're born again, we are given the gift of the Holy Spirit. He gives us the Holy Spirit. He gives us all we're going to have. But the Bible does talk about feelings. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And that comes through obedience to God's Word. See, the closer we are to Him, the more our sinfulness is seen, causing us to repent and forsake that sin. See, the closer we get to Christ, the more He convicts us of sin in our life. And then what takes place? We repent, we forsake that sin, and then we are cleansed, which enables us to be closer to the Savior. Because sin will keep you from the Bible, or the Bible will keep you from sin. See, God cannot be in the presence of sin. See, God and His Word convicts of sin. Romans chapter 3 and verse 20, it talks about bringing us to the knowledge of sin. This is what God's Word does. It brings us to the knowledge of sin. Chapter 3 of Romans and verse 20, it says, "Therefore by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in His sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin." God's Word brings us to that knowledge. And then we see in Psalm 119, in verse 130, another good verse, it says, "The entrance of Thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple." The entrance of Thy words giveth light. The closer we draw to Him, the brighter the situation becomes. The light gets brighter and it reveals what? Our sinfulness. It reveals the ugliness of us. And that's where He gives us an opportunity to confess our sin. He gives us an opportunity to ask forgiveness, to forsake it, as we see there in 1 John. See, in 1 John chapter 1, in verse 5, it says, "This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin." See, this is a precursor to verse 9. It says, in verse 8, it says, "If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us." See, as we draw closer to Him, God is light, as it says there in verse 5. And it says, if we walk with Him, then we're not walking in darkness. He promises us His presence. So we've seen His provision. We've seen His paths. We've seen His presence. Well, fourthly, we see here the promises. He promises us His protection. His protection in verse 4. It says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me." See, David here mentions, "Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me." See, God gives us His protection. See, we find comfort in God's presence. To know that God never changes is a great blessing to our stability. But to know that God never leaves us nor forsakes us is a comfort to us, that He's going to be there for us. But we see where it talks about thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. We find comfort in God's presence, His protection. David here mentions the rod and the staff. Each had a specific purpose in the life of the sheep. And if you think about this, we'll compare it to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. It says, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for what? For reproof, for correction, for doctrine, that's what it is, for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. So these four things will kind of compare to what we mentioned. See, the staff was a long pole with a crook near the end of it. With this implement, the shepherd would correct the sheep. See, God's word corrects us. It's good for doctrine, it teaches us, but it's also good for correction, as it says in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. He draws them close when they begin to wander. He lifts them up when they fall. See, the staff, that's what the purpose of the staff was. The rod was much shorter and was used to protect the sheep from any attackers. All of those who have trusted Christ, who is both born again, are protected by the Lord night and day. See, we can enjoy the place of absolute protection. See, we see 2 Timothy 3:16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. But we also see there in Colossians, we're going to turn to Colossians chapter 3, in verse 2. Actually, we can start in verse 1. It says, If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things of earth, for ye are dead, your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. So the point being here, when we're in Christ, we're born again, we're redeemed, we are what? We're hid with Christ in God. He is our protection. He is our protection. 1 Peter chapter 1, 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5 says, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. We are kept. That's his protection. See, we've seen his responsibility by his provision, by his paths, his presence, his protection. See, even though Satan may be walking about as a roaring lion, as it talks about in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8, one day we won't have to deal with him. He is a defeated foe. If we read the last part of the Revelation there, he's being cast into the lake of fire, death and hell, Satan. So we see that he's been chained, and our Father holds the leash. Satan is on a short leash. He only can do what God allows him to do. We see that as a perfect example in the book of Job, where he goes before God and asks permission to do what he did to Job. So even that, we see we have God's protection. We see his relationship to the sheep. We see his responsibility to the sheep. But then we're going to see his restoration of the sheep in verse 3. His restoration of the sheep in verse 3. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He restoreth my soul. See, the sheep are refreshed by feasting in the green pasture and drinking from the still waters and lying in a place of safety and peace. If you ever wondered why, it talks about he leads me the paths of righteousness from his name's sake. If you back up to verse 2, it says he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He takes him to the nicest, luscious, greenest part he can do so they can eat at ease. He leadeth me beside the still waters. See, sheep cannot drink from anything else but still waters, because if it's too if there's too many wakes in it, or too many waves or whatever, or disturbances in the water, the sheep can actually drown very easily. So he leadeth me by the still waters, beside the still waters. See, we as God's children are refreshed by our divine shepherd. See, we find refreshment with him. Psalm 119 and verse 112. It says, I have inclined my heart to perform thy statutes always, even unto the end. And then we see in verse 133, he says, order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. See, before we were saved, see, we talk about feasting in the green pasture and drinking from the still waters and lying in a place of safety and peace. Because we're in the comfort, or we're in the protection of the Savior. See, before we were saved, we were always thirsty. Before a person gets saved, he's always searching out something to satisfy his soul. I always said that there's a God-like shape hole in us until we get saved, and then when we get saved, he fills that void. But there's a constant feasting on the Word. There's a constant of staying in His Word. There's a constant, we need to be in His Word regularly, and it suffices us. It fulfills our desires. It fulfills our thirst. It quenches our thirst. See, we need to remember how the Lord came and brought life to us in our terrible conditions. It talks about it in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1. It talks about past things, of our past condition. We need to remember the times when we neglect the house of God, His Word, His fellowship, and we become weary and worn. And we get entangled in the things of the world. And we find that deadness and coldness that entwine us. But then we got to think of how He brought us from our lost condition. Or some people, their backslidden condition. But then how He forgave our sins and trespasses. As it says in Psalm 103 and verse 12, as he takes our sin and throws it as far as the east is from the west. He gets to remember what? To remember it no more. So we just need to remember how He's lifted us out of the old miry pit of sin, and He's brought us, as He did with the children of Israel, to the promised land of victory. But it took 40 years because of their bickering, their complaining, their sinfulness. He weeded them out and took in the new generation into the promised land. That is what He does for His sheep. He replaces their deadness with His life. As it talks about in Ephesians chapter 2. He melts the coldness of their hearts with the warmness of His embrace. He transforms the spirit and revives the cold heart. See, we looked at 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. See, we see His relationship to the sheep here. It's a personal relationship. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. But He also shows us His responsibility to the sheep. Through His provision, He provides for us. He leads us on His paths. He shows His presence. And He also shows us His protection. But then there's that time of restoration. As we see there in verse 3. He restoreth my soul and leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. See, God's always going to give us back more than we can handle. He's going to run our cup over. I don't know if we've ever heard someone say, well, you can never outgive God. Well, that's the truth. He's not going to allow you to outgive him. But then we see there in verse 6, he says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. See, we've seen his relationship, we've seen his responsibility, we've seen his restoration. That's his relationship between him and the sheep. See, by reading Psalm 23, we can find comfort from the Savior in these times, these uncertain times. We can find comfort. We can have that assurance and know that he's going to take care of us, that he's going to provide for our needs, that he's going to be there when we wake up the next day. And that's the blessing of it. So hopefully this has been an encouragement. We just got to remember, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He takes care of our every need. And he comforts us in the time of need. Let's pray.